Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. My name is Tristan, and I'm joined by Bob.
Indeed, you are.
Hello, Bob.
Hi.
We've been talking for so long with the mics off that it is now like
almost... Oh, my God, yeah, it's already almost...
Oh, my God, it's so late.
We're going to be here
late.
What
are we doing? Unless we manage to get through this entire podcast in 10 minutes, which I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, I think if we said one sentence about every comic, it would be longer than 10 minutes.
I mean, I got to say, this is not exactly a week to dwell on too much.
Nah.
It was not my favorite week of comics, I'm going to say.
Nothing bowled me over.
There was nothing this week that I was like, oh my God, I got to tell people about this. But there were some things that I definitely enjoyed this week.
Yes.
One of them that I, again, unfortunately, just don't care about. I wish I cared about it, but I don't. I don't like Ashley Wood. I finally admit it. 7174 AD. I just don't give a shit.
This
I'm
comic
sorry.
Smells terrible.
It sure does.
Like, I came into the store, literally, this is not a joke.
No,
I came into the store and was like, what's that smell? And I didn't figure it out until I picked up a copy of 7174 AD, and I was like, oh, it's just the five copies of this comic book that are literally smelling up the entire fucking store.
It is the only comic that is entirely printed on human excrement.
It's not even a shit smell. It's like a chemical smell.
It is a chemical printing smell. It smells
so
awful.
Rank. Like what? And it's like it's like matte paper. It's not like
weird.
I don't know what the hell.
I don't know what
they're getting these printed in like
someplace
Turkmenistan or something, you know, next to like a fucking
they're getting
Pez factory or something
in Chernobyl.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's very bad.
Oh, but they smell worse than any comic I've ever smelled
again,
in my life.
It's just because I'm a plebe, so I don't know shit, but I gotta tell you, I no longer I have to admit,
if you like the art, the art's
not my thing.
Yeah, I know. I
like literally don't like Ashley Wood's art.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we don't have a huge listenership, so I'm not too worried about pig piling. But
exactly.
I've had a bad taste in my mouth for Ashley Wood since The Invisibles, when he like was brought on as an artist for The Invisibles, and Grant Morrison was like, he just like wouldn't do what I wrote in the script, and so like he fucked like the whole Invisibles ending because he just like refused to draw things that were in the script. But regardless of that, like this is fine. The art's fine. If you like the art, it's a bunch of like ass shots and whatever. But it's like the comic itself stinks, and I don't mean it stinks in terms of it being poor artistic quality. I don't like, if it's your thing, it's your thing. It just absolutely reeks.
It smells bad. We got a facsimile of Spider-Man 255.
What is significant about this comic book?
It's got three numbers in the title.
Okay. Yeah, I like, it's fun, and it's Ron Frenz doing his like Ditko thing, which is my favorite Spider-Man. I don't know. Is it like the first one where the costume runs around and does shit on its own or something?
I don't
like,
know.
I literally was like, the Red Ghost, the Super Apes. Like, I love it, but like, why? Why is this a comic?
I think it's
that's
just because
facsimile-ed?
I think it's just because it's an early symbiote costume.
Are they just
story?
Doing the whole Venom run?
Maybe.
From 252.
That seems right. It does feel like
that was
like
the only thing
doing.
That made some sense to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because they did that Rose issue, which I think was like a fill-in, but I think it was before
that. Yeah, because it's not like you can't get the Rose issue for $6 at almost anywhere anyway. So.
First appearance of the Rose, man.
Goodbye, England's Rose.
Yeah.
Animal Pound, number 3.
It is a nice-looking comic book that I have no interest in reading.
Yep. If you like sad animals, you're going to love it. We got reprints of all of the Avengers Twilight issues. Plus, we have the new issue, number 5.
Which is actually pretty good.
I mean, this book
I like
is...
the twist.
This book is good. I mean, people love it.
Got a good twist.
Got a good twist. Batman Offworld, number 4.
Oh, man, I enjoyed it.
First appearance of the Thanagarian.
Thanagarian. Yes. I actually like the Thanagarian. He's kind of badass.
Too. He's got a good
and,
look.
I like this comic book. It's good. I'm glad that
it's... Of course I do.
I keep waiting for it now to, like, after that bizarro Jason Aaron one that he did where it tanked so hard, I was like, is this going to tank? But it's so far is pretty up there as being
good. I really wanted to post. I felt like it almost was a spoiler because someone is alive. But you know what? Everybody knows that. Screw it. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows that Punchbot survived. How could Punchbot not survive? Mm-hmm. The panel where he says, you're Punchbot. Take me someplace to punch something. I was like, okay, that's pretty good.
Amazing. Yeah, Punchbot is great. Maybe, like, I feel like Punchbot could have been dead, and then they were like, oh, everybody loves Punchbot.
I think Punchbot was so popular, they were like, no, you have
that's
to bring
Punchbot.
That's
probably the delay. There was a huge delay between 3 and 4. Maybe they rewrote Punchbot back.
Punchbot.
You got to bring Punchbot back.
I feel like that's true. I mean, if I was in the office, that would have been my one note. So, Batman Superman World's Finest, number 26.
The splash page of this is so good alone. Just the splash page is so absolutely amazing. I love this comic. It's great.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's the beginning of the Batmite Mixes Pitalik. Mixes Pitalik, not to be confused with the Golden Age version, Mixes Tipalik. These are things I know how to say.
These are the Dave.
Because I read Who's Who, the definitive guide to the DC universe.
Beware the Planet of the Apes, number 4.
Nice.
Beyond Real, number 3.
I like Beyond Real. Yeah, it's so do pretty I. trippy, and the art's great.
Yeah, it's much better than I expected it to be.
Yep.
Black Widow and Hawkeye, number 2. Also much better than I expected it
nice.
To be.
That's cool. I kind of just skimmed it.
Yeah, this is one that I was like, her new powers are so ridiculous that at first I was like, well, that's stupid. And then they were so ridiculous that I was like, wait a minute. That's awesome that they're so stupid. What am I talking about? And then I started really digging it. Anyway, Blow Away, number 1, a book that I didn't even notice.
Yeah, so this is like basically like trying to do, like it's a very oblique reference to blow up because it is all about a photographer, but Blow Away is an Arctic conspiracy thing.
That is very oblique.
Yeah, it's very oblique. it was not bad. The art was okay. It took a little bit to get into the story of it. But if you're like you really like cameras and comic books and you're like, you want to, or maybe like you were like still waiting for Whiteout 4 or something and it hasn't come because it's all Antarctica as well.
Yeah, sure.
But it was fine.
We got Blue Book 1947, number 3.
I am not reading this because I don't understand what's happening because I didn't read any of the last ones.
Yes, I basically missed.
I know it's good,
though. I missed issues and so I have no idea what's going on, even though I know the original story. Captain Marvel, number 7.
I read it. It's actually not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the Marvels this week.
Oh, nice.
Finally, after a billion years. It was fine.
Yeah, I had a feeling it would be just fine and that all of the hype about how bad it was just totally overrated.
That was insane. I mean, I would say that when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this is a movie that was shot during quarantine. Like, it had all the hallmarks of like, yeah, they probably wanted to put people in this scene. Yep, they probably wanted to do something here. Yep, they probably wanted to do that. Couldn't do that. They shot this last scene where there's a giant crowd at the absolute end and then jammed it in the middle. It's like, yeah, of course, there's like shit that happens because they had lots of problems in filming it.
Okay.
But like, definitely it was like a B. You know, it wasn't like, it wasn't terrible.
It's about what I expected.
Yeah. And honestly, my one takeaway from it that I didn't hear anyone say was that it was a genius evolution of Kamala Khan coming up as a real superhero and encountering problems that were outside of her YA type series. Like, because the TV show is kind of like more of a kids, like kind of a young adult kind of thing.
Okay.
And this was like kind of leveling it up.
Okay.
And so some shit happens that is kind of like, okay, now she's encountering bigger problems in the world and having to face actual like life or death situations. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Like it was an evolution of her character, which I thought was impressive.
Right on.
Anyway, Catwoman, number 64.
Catwoman is dumb and they need to cancel it and start it again.
Wow.
It's dumb.
I mean, I'm
making her a supernatural is stupid.
Wait, what?
She has a power like now where like she dies 9 times and every time she dies, she gets another scar on her back. It's fucking stupid.
Okay. I mean, I hope it's like that Tales from the Crypt episode where the guy is the magician and he's like, he gets the power to die 9 times because he steals it from a cat. And then
it's pretty much exactly like that.
And he's like, all right, well, there we go. And now I'm going to have my one last performance for my 9th life. And he's in the box and he's like, wait, I killed that cat. And then he dies in the box.
Oh,
and he's like, because there was already,
he
only had 8 lives because he killed the cat
lives.
Once.
Yeah, this one is just, it's stupid. Like, I don't really get, it's like, why? Like, She's in space. She dies. She gets shot. She dies. She goes to Vanda Waller. She blows up a brain box in her brain and she dies. It's just like every issue ends with her dying and it's a 9-part story. Just why bother?
Yeah.
Why? Like that's $3, $4 times 9. Yeah. Like eat shit. DC, yeah. Like, fuck off. Give us a Catwoman story where she steals some fucking jewels or whatever the fuck. You know?
Yes.
Do something fun. Don't do something dumb.
Drinks milk, plays with a ball of yarn.
Whatever. Sure, whatever.
City Boy trade paperback is out.
Shitty Boy.
Cobra Commander number 4 of 5 is out.
It's doing his
thing. This is so good. Yeah. I love it that it's got that stupid fucking snake man in it, and it's got this stupid
Serpentor.
No, the who's the other guy with the dumb wings that's Serpentor's like
that's way after it's I jumped not off Galobulus, the G.I. Joe train.
But like the other guy.
Okay.
He's dumb. But he's dumb. He's a main character in this and I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Crisis on Infinite Earths #1 facsimile edition.
I'm excited that they're doing all 12 issues of Crisis. I think it's great.
And one of them is going to be shiny for each one.
Yeah, new shiny versions. You could choose to have
all shiny versions.
You get a shiny wraparound cover.
We got Dead X-Men #4.
Mm.
This comic, it's okay.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't know. I never thought of myself as this type of nerd, but I got totally irritated when Jubilee came in contact with the main villain in this, and she was like, cut it out, Sleazoid. And I was like, no. Sleazoids are the Brood only. You don't just call somebody Sleazoid, Jubilee.
It's not a generic X-Men
That's
insult.
That's not a generic... Like, whoever wrote this thought that was a generic fucking X-Men insult. It's not.
Yeah. I don't know. That's it's funny, too, because to it's like, I like every character in this comic, yeah, and I just, like, have no interest.
It's not bad. It's just fine, but it's not
one of my favorite all-time X-Men characters is Frenzy. I really like Frenzy. And I didn't give a shit about Frenzy when Frenzy first appeared as a villain, but when Mike Carey was doing X-Men Legacy, I really liked that comic. I thought it was really good. It was like Rogue led a team of X-Men,
yeah,
and Frenzy was on it, and Frenzy was awesome.
I don't remember.
And they've just like never like
at all. But I remember that it existed.
So it was the X-Men comic, the regular, the one that Jim Lee started.
Yeah. Oh, right. When
and then at a certain point they changed the name of it to X-Men Legacy.
I remember now.
And it just kept going until it got canceled. Yep.
That now rings a bell.
Yeah, but it was like way late in the run. It was good.
Speaking of me finally getting Disney Plus back.
Oh, you did it.
Damn it. Everybody telling me how good the X-Men cartoon was and me going, well, I mean, yeah, the first one was fun and it was a... It'll
first
be,
one I didn't like.
It'll be nostalgic and whatever.
Oh, wait, the first series, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. And then, I watched that second episode and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
I actually still have to... I
my jaw was on the floor.
It was really good.
It might have been the best version of the X-Men as an allegory that I've ever seen.
Yep.
It was so good.
Yeah.
The moment when she's like, you know, how am I going to explain to my son when he grows up that he's different and that the world is dangerous to him? And I was like, oh, my heart. Oh, God. Ow.
Yep.
Woo!
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's good. I have a couple episodes to catch up on.
I'm
it,
only on
really,
the second episode, and I was just like,
I saw the first three.
I didn't know that my heart could handle watching any more than just the first two.
Yeah, no.
I think I was just gonna space them out a little bit.
I dug it, and I like how they kind of compressed certain things into like a new kind of storyline.
Especially the Magneto story that sucked in the comics.
Oh, the Trial of Magneto. Yeah.
Trial of Magneto, which was like one of my least favorite stories in the X-Men.
Yeah, it's so funny when you go back and read those New Mutants where he was the headmaster and he's like such a dick.
Yes.
And it's like totally hands off, and then when they get in trouble, he's like, you're grounded. Yeah. It's just like, come on, dude. You're not doing your job.
Yes.
Fuck.
It's almost like you're a mass murderer.
It's almost like you're a weird mass murderer, and yeah.
But then again, at this point, with 50 years of history, the X-Men, every one of them is a mass murderer for something.
I mean, at this point, they killed themselves half that. Like, they've killed themselves a million times.
Yep.
Anyway, whatever.
Okay. We finally got these things in that I had said I wasn't going to get in, but people have asked for them, so I'm getting them in. And if you buy them, then I'll continue to to buy them. But we have Disney's Lorcana, the Magic the Gathering for Disney fans.
Oh.
We have starter decks only. I don't have any boosters. I'm just going to see what happens. Displaced, number three, is out.
Displaced is really good. I like it. It's very good. Very good comic.
You know what I'm assuming is probably not that good? Dudley Datson and the Forever Machine.
The art's good. The story reads like digital comics thrown into a print edition. It's all chopped up in really weird ways that don't make for a really fluid reading experience. But the overall storyline is not the worst thing I've ever read. It wasn't a bring home for me, but, you know.
Just like, it feels like half of what Scott Snyder puts out lately has just been like, let's see what we can throw into a blender. And
I think it's just, he's farming IP, and that's what that is sort of what it feels like. But I think Jamal Eagle is a good artist, and so it is really well illustrated, and the story is interesting. It's just like it doesn't really feel like anything that you haven't totally seen before. I don't know, there was something about it that just like didn't work. Not that it didn't work, it just didn't grab me. But I did think it was a perfectly cromulent comic book.
Perfectly cromulent. You know what else is cromulent? Elvira meets H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes.
Really fun comic. And this week, I got to say, the covers on this week's issue are like next level. They are all so good.
I never see them because you hide the variants now.
The A cover is so good. And then the B cover is like a painted version of some sort of crazy Lovecraftian monster with Lovecraft's head. And then the C cover is this, like such a deep dive for only really old nerds, because it's the Dark Shadows paperback. It's a mock-up of the Dark Shadows paperback with Elvira and Lovecraft on it.
Cool.
Which I was like, who is going to get that reference? Only really old nerds like me. Anyway,
nice. Hey,
Elvira meets H.P. Lovecraft. It's a good comic.
Yeah,
read it.
It is actually. I think all the Elvira comics talk about it every week.
It's shocking.
Or every month.
Fall of the House of X, number four. I think I forgot to read this.
Yeah, I don't think you would have any more to say about it than if you did read it. It's like tentpole storytelling.
Yeah, I feel like I did read it. That's not good. I thought I liked it, and now I can't remember a single thing about it.
It's got Apocalypse.
Now I remember it. Yes. Yeah, the story is that Apocalypse is basically trying to revive Krakoa by murdering a bunch of mutants on top of him.
Yeah. It's just because be done. Just be done. Like
Krakoa feeds on the power of mutants. Somehow, I don't know how them being there kept whatever. Doesn't matter. Care. But we've got From the World of Minor Threats, the Alternates trade paperback.
Nice.
Gargoyle's Quest, number one. It's a quest with gargoyles.
Nice.
If you like your Ghost Riders real doofy, we got Ghost Rider Final Vengeance.
Yes.
This Ghost Rider's got a handgun.
I mean,
the one of them had a shotgun, which was a great... That was a Jason Aaron invention, right?
Yeah, the Hellfire.
The Hellfire shotgun.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Just if you can't be that good, what's the point?
Yep. Giant-sized Hulk seems redundant.
It was just these giant-sized things. It's just like the story, like it's a half reprint. It's just like half reprint. And the story they chose to reprint was really weird.
It's never going to be Hulk Town. I'm sorry.
No.
Hulktown by the guy that runs the Casablanca and Wyndham. I think.
By Matt?
I think so. I think he's the guy that... Wasn't he the one who wrote it? Somebody who worked at Casablanca at one point wrote a story called Hulktown.
I don't know. I never heard of that. And I worked there for like 10 years.
Yeah, one of the old employees at Casablanca wrote a story called Hulktown for one of the annuals.
Huh.
I'm going to have to look that up now.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
You stumped me.
Weird. Okay. Anyway, Golgotha, Motor Mountain, number two.
Yep.
Green Lantern, War Journal, number eight.
Yep.
Oh, man. Speaking of things that are better than they should be, Hack and Slash.
Oh, yeah. The Zoe Thoreau, good one.
I swear Zoe Thorogood is possibly my new favorite artist.
Nice.
I can't believe the level of like cartoony talent and creativity in her artwork, in their artwork. I do not know.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if it's, I don't know the gender, so I'm
easier to just say they.
Yeah, fascinating. Was yeah. not expecting to find somebody that talented just doing like a spin-off of Hackslash.
Yeah.
But there you go. Helen of Windhorn, number two.
I like it. It's good.
Mm.
It's still kind of weird that the 16-year-old protagonist is constantly getting really hammered, but maybe I'm just a prude or a Puritan or something. Pretty I don't know. Prude. Like, but it's good. It's good. I like Bill Quiss Evely, and I like the story, and it's interesting, and it's kind of like part Jane Eyre, part Conan, like in a very Tom King kind of way.
Okay.
But the art's great.
You know what's even greater than that?
What is that?
The Haya Toys First Blood Rambo.
Oh man, Marshall like brought one of those home.
He did.
I didn't even see it.
I saw it on his. He does a. He actually has a page on Instagram that's just for his toy photography.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually how I hired him.
You know, I think I remember. I've seen that page, and I didn't realize it was Marshall.
Yeah, Main Toy Photography or something like that. Yeah. I need to double check on that. But yeah, it's amazing. He does really great photos, and he has a really good eye for that stuff. And he took a photo of this Rambo figure, and it's awesome. It's really good. Of course, it's great because it's the First Blood, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's great.
The version that actually totally rules as opposed to only like 80% rules.
Yes. It, like the one that like was a statement about a broken system as opposed to just getting more violent and racist with every fucking episode until the last one that is just like it's literally a story about how there is not a single person in Mexico who isn't a murderer.
I have not seen that one.
Holy fuck.
I think I've only seen two of them.
He's like, oh, where'd she go? Oh, she went to Mexico. My God, she went to Mexico. And he's like, gets in the truck, and it's like, yeah, of course she was kidnapped and forced into prostitution because that's what happens. It's like, fuck, dude, come on, man.
Yeah.
I was looking for a lighthearted, dumb thing. I wasn't looking for a screed by an old man who doesn't know what the world is like.
Yeah.
Gross.
Get enough of that on the news.
Yeah, thanks a lot. House of Slaughter, number four, trade paperback.
Wow, wow, wow.
I Heart Skull Crusher, number two.
Yeah.
Jay Garrick, The Flash, number six.
I just got a shout out. I think this like really funny full circle thing that happened where like I read the Jay Garrick comic and this is the last issue of it and I enjoyed it. He fights sharks that have robot arms, which I thought was kind of silly. And then it was just kind of silly. Then I happened to be looking through your tabloid size comics section and I found the famous first edition that is for All-Star Comics number 3, the first appearance of the Justice Society, and in that comic book Jay Garrick fights a shark.
That dude fucking hates sharks.
He's like the speedster who fights sharks apparently. And I just enjoyed this like 80 year full circle thing that just kind of organically happened today.
Very
and that's
nice.
One of the things that happens with comics sometimes that's really fun. And I'll post the panel. The shark has like a thought balloon in the Golden Age one and it's amazing. He's like, I swear there was a really a meaty guy around here to eat or something like that. He says something really funny.
I love it. We got Jill and the Killers, number 4 of 4.
Yep.
John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, Rise of the Sludge God, number 2.
I like it.
God, everything about that sounds like a great thrash record.
Am I seeing things, or wasn't there a nice juicy man just here? That's what the shark is thinking. He has a question mark over his head.
A nice juicy man.
A nice juicy man.
You know, Toxic Commando, Rise of the Sludge God, you get your band name and you get your album title. Right there, that is a great thrash record.
I saw this week, and I'm just going to put it out there into the world, but I'm definitely using this at some point, a list of AI-generated pet names, and one of the names is the greatest band name of all time, Bones of the Master.
Wow. Wow.
Like, it's like, what if a pet named a a person, I think, is like what the list was or something like that. It's like Bones of the Master is the name the pet came for, the cat came up with for the man or the woman or whatever.
That's pretty good.
Bones of the, or no, it's just maybe it was like what would a cat name itself or something. I can't remember the context, but Bones of the Master is like really one of the best names I've ever heard in my life.
That's amazing. And speaking of thrash records, just if you happen to be like me and like a good death metal record occasionally, one of the best death metal records I've heard in a long time came out this week. Nekrot's new album fucking rules.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to listen to Nekrot, I highly recommend their new records.
All right. Good to know.
Yes. It is called Lifeless Birth.
Perfect.
And also, I also found this week another great band called The Monolith Death Cult. And their album, The Demon Who Makes Trophies of Men, about Predator.
Nice.
And it is a, they sound like if Ministry was a death metal band, which is kind of amazing. They like, they do the Ministry thing, they do the death metal thing, and they do the thrash thing.
So like,
and they kind of jam them all together.
All of those things plus Junkies.
I think it's just that they're foreign. I think it's mostly that they're like from, they are not native English speakers. I don't know what European country they come from, but it's not Norway. But they're great.
Nice.
All right. Anyway, John Constantine, Hellblazer, Dead in America, number 4 of 9 is out.
I have heard good things about this comic book.
Jujutsu Kaisen graphic novel volume 22 is out this week. Kids love it. It's
fun to say.
It is. Jurassic League trade paperback is out. That's where the dinosaurs
that hasn't come
are
out
superheroes.
Yet?
No, because DC does that dumb thing where they're like, here's the hardcover. We're going to keep it out for 6 months, and then we're going to finally release a trade paperback a billion years afterwards.
I see.
I hate it.
All right.
But there you go. Justice Ducks number 2. If you're into Justice and Ducks, that's going to be where you find them.
Is that like a Darkwing Duck?
That is the Darkwing Duck Justice League.
Cool.
There appears to be an Incredible Hulk, some sort of fish person. Magicka Dispel seems to be in it. Uh-huh. Is that her name?
That sounds right.
I think so. Kill your darlings, Bob. Do it.
I already did. Oh, sorry to break it to you, but you're too late. Your advice comes too late. I've already killed them. My darlings.
You're too late. I already killed her.
I was listening to the Misfits. They said, die, die, my darling. And I said, I should kill my darlings. That's a good idea. Thank you, Glenn Danzig, for this great advice.
Nice. It's funny that you took that from something where someone is actively telling you to kill people, as opposed to most murderers who take it from random peaceful bands.
Yes, exactly. Like, Give peace a chance. I was listening to it, and then I decided that it was telling me that I needed to murder a 6-year-old.
I was listening to the Misfits, and I was like, I should go donate to a children's hospital. Why does that never happen?
I don't know. Because it doesn't get publicized.
Oh, maybe it does.
It does.
Anyway, there's a book called Love Me out this week that I did not read.
Someone listened to Love Me Do by the Beatles, and they told them to make a comic book.
Did. It's a romance story, and it's from some company. It's from Mad Cave.
I did. The art is very, very good.
It's a really cool looking
art.
It's
cool and fun, and it looked interesting on a art comic level.
Yeah, yeah. It has that like, I don't know what to describe it as. It's like a Mexican like street art style that looks like it's based on mosaic designs. It's a really cool style, and I've seen a few people do it. It's like almost Moebius, almost like...
I would like say if you're a fan of Jim Mafood, maybe might be like
sure,
a...
Sure, but it's like an ultra-detailed Jim Mafood. Like, Jim Mafood is more gestural.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Anyway, but we got a Mad Magazine, number 37. Mad Magazine roasts comedy.
Yes, it roasts such comedians as Stephen Wright and
Wow. Okay, so it's honestly I was like I thought there was going to be like 1950s comedians.
You know what's funny?
I thought it was going to be like Henny Young.
Oh yeah, no, it's not that. It's not, it's like 80s, 90s,
hey,
80s, 90s.
That's good for Mad Magazine.
My favorite Stephen Wright joke ended up being prophetic,
which is
So Stephen Wright has I live at the end of a one-way dead-end street. I don't know how I got there. And I live on a dead-end street. It's not a one-way dead-end street. But you can go each way down
you
it.
You don't know how you got there.
But I don't know how I got there.
That is rough.
Miles, we just found a house there somehow.
Miles Morales, Spider-Man, number 19.
You know, it's fine. Like, yeah. I realized I hadn't read the last couple issues of Miles Morales, and today I was like, I'm going to read this Miles Morales. The art's decent. It's
yeah.
fine.
Miles,
just fine.
Miles Morales has been dipping in and out a bit lately in a way that it kind of hadn't for a really long time. Like, if you picked up a Miles Morales comic, you were pretty much certain it was going to be good for about, I don't know, the first 100 issues that of any Miles series. But now it's kind of like, eh. I love all of the weird characters that got introduced during the Clone Saga stuff, so I was really enjoying all that.
I just don't understand this like weird behemoth Spider-Man that hangs out with him all the time.
I love him.
What's his name?
I can't remember. It's Glob or it's whatever something. Whatever the dumb word is that he says.
He's in two comics this week.
He's great. He's one of the failed clones of Miles.
Yeah.
Like during the Clone Saga, there were a bunch of clones, and he was the one that was just kind of the big dumb galoot that was like kind of a nice guy.
That's one of my favorite features in the Rich Tomasso Black Phoenix. He has a character named Galoot. It's a Western guy.
I do love the term galoot.
Yeah, it's good.
We got Moon Man number 2.
I forgot to read this one.
Kid Cudi doing
comic books. Right.
We got My Cat Is Such a Weirdo, Volume 3. And we have My New Life as a Cat, Volume 5.
I did see that one.
Both ridiculously adorable. Nightwing 113 is out.
Legacy 300.
My God. Why isn't it $10?
100th issue of Nightwing.
Should have been $10, guys.
There was a nice little, you know, I don't normally go for these maudlin, like, the creator meets the hero things, but they, like, kind of did.
Please tell me it was George Perez.
Well, no, but he's mentioned. Okay. It's Marv Wolfman.
Okay, that's good.
And, like, at the end of this, like, thing, they go to this pizza place, and it's Marv and George's Pizza. And okay. Marv is still running it, but George has passed away. And
that's adorable.
It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty great.
I mean, it gets me right. It gets me right in the feels.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, I mean, that's, if you're going to do it that way. That's
well,
amazing.
And also they got, like, Bruno Redondo, for whatever reason, did not draw this issue. And, like, obviously Bruno Redondo is drawing whatever DC's next big crossover is.
Yes.
Because he just, vanished from Nightwing. And he's coming back for the final storyline, but, like, he's been gone.
Yeah, clearly he's doing some sort of big crossover.
Yeah, so this massive, big legacy issue that Tom Taylor is writing... has a different artist. The art's not bad, but then they brought in Redondo to draw the story that Marv Wolfman wrote, which
is
the story featuring Marv Wolfman, which I thought was just kind of odd or whatever. But also, like, did you hear any of that shit about what people were doing with Tom Taylor online, fucking burning pictures of him?
What? No, but...
Like, I don't even understand why, but, like, it makes me want to not read comics when I read shit like that.
Same.
Like, it's fucking stupid. Anyway, that's all that needs to be said.
Why do I want to know? I almost pretended that I wanted to know for a second, and I don't fucking care.
I don't know what it is.
I don't give a shit.
Was a Bleeding Cool article about it, and it did not explain
why. You know what? It
why.
Makes me hate it twice
so
as
I
much.
Assumed that the reason why the people were upset was because of something Bleeding Cool had done.
I'm
because,
sure.
like, why else wouldn't they say why it was?
Yeah, because it's gonna be because of Bleeding Cool, because they're gonna be the instigators in something against someone who is on the left.
It's like, here's something to incite people and do a bunch of clickbait shit, and then, like, I can't understand why toxic fandom exists.
And here's an expose on toxic fandom that we started. Yeah. Anyway, Parasite Full Color Collection Volume 6 Hardcover is out. This is great.
Don't know what that means.
It is a really long-running Japanese horror series.
Oh, cool.
And they're only releasing it in the U.S. in these big hardcover color collections. I think it's great.
Nice.
I like it. It looks great in color. So I think it was a good choice. And this is always the big surprise for me. You know, looking at all of these covers and going, wow, I'm really embarrassed to carry these. But they're also just, the fucking comic is good. Penthouse Comics number 2.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. This book rules. It's like,
yeah,
the art is...
It's the equivalent of heavy metal.
So the thing is, it's heavy metal, but like I've never felt like reading heavy metal. Every time I get a heavy metal, I'm like, ugh, I feel bogged down by it, and it doesn't feel fun or interesting, and I'm not like, it doesn't bring me in. It feels old. And this is like, this feels new and interesting and vibrant, and like I'm actually interested in what's in it.
Also, it has nipples.
I mean, so does so does heavy metal, but that was never enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually do like it.
I'm just constantly surprised at how good the art in this is. And there you go. And also, I'm aware that there was some heat on this this Maleficent, the H cover, and that everybody wanted it online. Don't know why, it went bonkers for some unknown reason, so I ordered extra copies of it, so we'll have more of those in next week.
I didn't even see it. You, like I said,
it sold out instantly.
You sort of hide the variant covers now, so yes. I don't always see them.
Yeah, if we have like
is
three...
it like Naked Maleficent or something?
It's not. I think Maleficent's the name of the artist.
Oh, I see.
I believe. Anyway, we are sold out of a bunch of the variant covers, though. Listen, and in the same vein, we also have $60 Battletoads action figures.
Wow.
They are fucking awesome. Wow. They're really, really good.
I didn't see them. Are they in back?
I guess they must be. I know Marshall was listing them because he took a photo of them out in the back case, so maybe they are out back.
Nice.
Quick Stops, number two, number four. Volume two, number four. Shit, this is the book that I was looking forward to the most this week, and I forgot to read it. I didn't even see it there.
What? Sam and Twitch?
No. No. Roxxon Presents Thor, number one.
It's great.
I was so looking forward to this book.
It's the first time since I dropped Thor that I've genuinely been like,
that last
I kind of wish.
Did you read that last one cover to cover?
I didn't read it cover to cover.
Dude,
this
it was
one
so good.
I did read cover to cover, and it's hilarious. It's really good.
Wait.
It's really good. They have like fake Roxxon ads in it. It's really good.
Yeah, this was the one that
like
I
some
was
like
really
actually I
want
to go get it so I can read like a couple of the funny bits of dialogue. I'll be right
okay,
back.
I will tell you that Salmon Twitch Case Files number two is out. Again, the worst lettering in the history of comic books made me crazy. We've got a 7 Years in Darkness progress report, which is the first four issues bound together.
Pretty cool.
So you get 72 pages, which is first three issues.
So this is Odin giving Thor his mission to go to Earthgard or whatever they call it. Like it's not Midgard.
Yeah.
Yet one more thing I ask of thee, for the All-Father hath raised no bums. Thou must get a haircut, my son, and a job in tech. And then Thor just looks down with a smile and he says, ... radical.
Yay.
'Tis radical indeed to return to Earthgard.
Oh my God, I'm very excited about this.
Roxxon's Al Ewing, Roxxon's Greg Land, Roxxon's Jay Leiston. It's pretty good. Honestly, I should buy this.
That's so good. I need to check that out.
It's really funny.
I will read that while the podcast is uploading. Something Epic number 9 is out. Spawn 352 is out. Spectacular Spider-Men number 2 is out.
I think it's a good comic.
I do too.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yep, same. Jackie's new book, Spend the Night, number 4 is out.
Number 4.
Good stuff. I unfortunately did not have the
Jackie Kong.
Did I say?
You just said Jackie.
No, sorry. Jackie Kong. Her new book, I did not have the time to design her logo for this one, so this is the one that I didn't do a logo for, unfortunately, but I've been very, very busy, so I did not unfortunately have time to do that. So some other schmuck did it, but I'm sure they did a great job. Spider-Boy, number 6.
There's a first
this
appearance
book is
of
so
a...
so insane.
Okay, honestly, like, not the worst comic book I've ever read.
No,
and
not
he
at
has
all.
This friend.
It's bonkers how weird it is. Like, why would you take this character that is so popular and make such a weird comic? I'm proud of them
for
this
decision.
Is the
character popular?
I mean, I don't know. Their covers are popular, I guess.
He has a girlfriend or something, and this like person is like making animal hybrids and turns his girlfriend into a pigeon.
Yep.
And she's just like, it's okay, I'm still me, I'm just a pigeon now. It's just like, and then she's talking to pigeons later on in the comic. I was like, this is great.
It was especially good because she's like, see, it didn't even work. And then she's like, oh, I'm a pigeon. Okay. Well, you know what? It's fine.
Yeah. She's totally just like, it's cool. I'm still me. I'm just a pigeon now.
I just loved how she rolled with it. And then the weirdest part was that I can talk to pigeons now.
But before she became a pigeon, she was like, no, no, anything but being a pigeon.
Anything but being a pigeon.
And then she becomes a pigeon. She's just like, yeah, everything's fine. I'm a pigeon now. It's okay.
And I think it's because pigeons have that kind of laid back attitude.
Yeah, it's like
where
pretty
just like,
pretty
yeah.
smart.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. For a spider boy, it's fine.
No,
like,
it really is. It's just impressive to me that they went with such a wonderfully goofy, bizarre villain, and it's just so colorful and nutso. I really enjoy it. I'm glad they've done that. Another one that I was surprised by was Spider-Woman this week. I like a good Spider-Woman comic, and this is pretty good. Weirdly, Star is in it, that character from Captain Marvel.
Right.
All of the Infinity Gems have been put back in their rightful place, so I don't know what the hell she's powered by at this point, but whatever. I guess she still is, and she's a little on the bonkers side, so it's an interesting character. Star Trek number 19, Star Wars Legends Epic Collection, The New Republic Volume 1, which people had been looking for, actually. Mm. Star Wars Bounty Hunters Volume 7, Dark Droids. Star Wars Mace Windu, number 3. Star Wars The High Republic Adventures, Saber for Hire, number 1. And
Star Wars Dank Droids, volume 12.
Dank Droids. We got Superman, number 13, continuing this.
I think you're sold out.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we still have variants, but we do not have any of the A cover left. I'm so glad that somebody appreciated the Superman 13 Maria Wolf Beppo the Super Ape cover.
Ooh.
Somebody bought that. It's the classic Superman breaking the chains.
But it's Beppo?
But it's Beppo.
All right.
Drawn
cool.
in that. That just... I don't even know how to describe the Maria Wolf style. It's
I can't
like,
see it.
She loves to do hyper... She does hyper-realistic cartoons. I don't know. It's like those close-ups in Ren and Stimpy. You know, they're just these, like, disgusting but amazing pieces of artwork. Hmm. I love them. Anyway, we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Untold Destiny of the Foot Clan, number 2. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, we don't have any more than that. That's just a variant. It just looked like a different thing. We got Tim Drake Robin, Trade Paperback, Volume 2, A Case of Chaos. And Titans, number 10.
Is this the cover?
That is.
That's really great.
It's a really great cover.
I wish I'd seen it.
And we've got, there's a Titans cover as well. But you won't like it because it's Monsieur Mala.
I would like it. The one I didn't like is the Ultra Humanite one because I don't like him with his brain sticking
Monsieur
out.
Mala has a cannon that shoots bananas.
Nice. It's a banana cannon.
Banana cannon. We got Ultimate Black Panther, number 3. We have Ultimate Spider-Man, multiple printings of number 2. Under Heist, number 3 is out. I wish I liked this book.
I've heard good things, but I think you have to really
to really bear down on it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and like for the kind of reading that I'm doing for the comics before the podcast, it's too dense.
Yeah.
He writes very dense and it's difficult for me to grasp what's going on.
Right. That's David Lapham.
That is David Lapham of
curious.
Stray Bullets fame.
Who's curious?
Vampirella 668 is out.
Hmm.
Walking Dead Deluxe 87. Weatherman Volume 3, number 4. What If Venom, number 3.
Featuring the first word balloon spoken by Madison in a comic book. Madison from She-Hulk series.
Oh.
There's like a scene where Wong is like, I gotta go hang out with Madison to watch The Bachelor. And then you see a word bubble coming from the other side of the portal that's Madison, but you never see her in it. And so someone was literally trying to like sell it as like
that's great.
Madison. But it is saying that Madison exists, at least in this what if world.
In some what if world, yeah. Sure. We've got Wonder Woman number 8.
I think it's like I want to think that this book is bad, and it's not. It's actually pretty good.
It's, again, the thing is that this thing has been actually picking up steam sales wise.
Yeah.
Since number one, which that doesn't happen very often. That like,
well, I think Tom King is like not a guaranteed, but like when he's good, he's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people are just like, oh, this is like pretty interesting. And Sempere is really good artist, so it works. I mean, Tom King doesn't really work with bad artists, so at least you got
that is true.
For you.
Yeah,
you're always going to get good art if you get one of his comics.
Yeah. Good stuff. And that's it. We did it.
Yeah.
We did it in under an hour. Yeah.
45 minutes.
I mean, again, there's a lot of filler this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some good stuff.
Yeah.
So come check it out. There's really fun trades and lots of fun toys that came in this week. So come check stuff out in the store. Definitely worth it. I'm bringing in new stuff all the time. I brought in a full run of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, obviously without 1 through 4 because those are too expensive to keep in the store. But those guys, unfortunately, I had to put to auction in order to afford to buy the collection that these came from. But I got the rest of it, and all of those issues are in here with some exceptions. There's also a complete run of the Fantagraphics Usagi Yojimbo coming in.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to be working on that tomorrow and getting that out into the bins. I put full runs of all of the Heroes Return series, which I am blown away by how many of those are really, really readable.
Huh.
Especially
the Captain America one.
Well, you're thinking of Heroes Reborn.
Oh.
Heroes Return is the 1998 stuff, which is drastically better than the stuff from 1996.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, we drove it into the ground. Now let's give it to Alan Davis.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a bunch of people I really like.
Yeah.
And some people that I really...
That was the Busiek Perez Avengers.
And also the Scott Lobdell stuff, but it's really good.
Yeah.
I know. He's not a great person, but his stuff is really good.
I don't know anything about him as a person. I actually don't totally hate him as a comic creator in any way.
He was somebody who I never really got into, but like he did that run of... What is it? Red Hood? Was it...
He did
was
write,
it Outlaws?
He wrote Red Hood and the Outlaws, yes, for New 52.
Oh, it was the first one. It was the Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I think he
Outlaws.
Wrote pretty much all of them.
Oh, okay. Because I liked those a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fine.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
He did some stuff.
New 52 had its issues.
Yes, it did. No pun intended.
Ayo.
But yeah, I'm getting stuff out and it's fun. So, check it out. Oh, also, a ton of X-Men like key issues just went into the bins as well. So there's a ton of stuff, especially Claremont era.
Cool.
You know, I do have a first appearance of Dazzler here. I've got a couple other first appearances kicking around that are really, really awesome. So some of the really good stuff sold really fast. Like I put it out that day and somebody like literally after I put it out, the whole, the Hellfire saga, like
gone.
Pretty much gone.
Nice.
But there's some really good stuff left in there. So
cool.
Check that out. And yeah, that's about it. Support the Rad Wraith Kickstarter. We've got another $500 left.
Oh, wow.
In like 2 weeks. I would appreciate it. And
yeah, do it.
We've got a Stephen King event coming up in a month in May.
Can I tell you something funny Stephen King related that I did this weekend?
What's that?
So I went to the convention in Concord, little giant convention, and I found a copy of the Bizarre Adventures, whatever the one it is that has Lawnmower Man
Walt Simonson one,
and I knew Walt Simonson drew it, but because I was at a convention, I didn't feel comfortable like opening things up or whatever, so I was just like trying to make small talk with somebody, and I was like, hey, is this the one that Walt Simonson drew? And and I knew the answer, but like I still asked, and he was like, oh, I don't know, let me ask. And I was like, oh, okay. And I kind of just like figured he'd ask someone and they wouldn't know. And I'd be like, oh, you know, like whatever. And then he asked someone and they didn't know. Then he asked someone else and it started whole chain. And I was like, actually, I know the answer. And it is totally Walt Simonson. And then finally they got down the chain and the last guy didn't know. So he opened it up and he looked at it and he was like, well, this looks like Walt Simonson. Literally on page one, it says his name. Like, it's definitely him. And I felt so bad about the whole deal that I just bought it.
Nice.
So now I own it.
But it's great.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I love that. It's great. I just probably wouldn't have spent $15 on a Lawnmower Man adaption. Like the first thing, like it was within the first like 10 minutes of like being on the floor. I just was like the first thing I saw. And I was like, I don't know why I did that. It was stupid.
I
met the coolest guy though, man. A comic seller from, Oklahoma. He told me about this crazy fan convention that I 100% want to to. It's right around my birthday. It's called OAF. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's, the Oklahoma Association of Fans. And it's like all like old ass fucking like,
oh, like a real like, old timey.
Like it's like an old ass old school fucking convention. And I totally want to go.
That sounds pretty good.
I think it's going to be really fun. But the guy had this great section of foreign comics. And it was unlike most foreign comics that you find, like non-American comics that you find, but like foreign versions of American comics. He had like everything separated by country. So it would be like Belgium, Portugal, you know, like whatever, like all of the things. But he also had like crazy key issues, like, but like Mexican. He had the first Silver Surfer.
It's a new thing.
It was so cool to see it. Like there was so many amazing, and I bought a, I bought an Australian Superman comic and I bought a German Felix the Cat comic, and the German Felix the Cat comics are weird.
Shocker.
Shocker. Yeah, no, they're weird though.
Dusty Stein shocker.
Like I expected them to almost like have like pornographic content. They're like,
yeah,
that
exactly.
Weird.
That's,
like,
that's what I would have assumed.
They didn't,
honestly.
But like they were definitely unlike any Felix the Cat content I have ever seen. Anyway, whatever. The guy was really cool, and I want to go to OAF now.
Wow, I have never had the urge to go to Oklahoma.
No, neither have I.
But you know what?
It's where the wind comes whistling down the plains.
I was aware, but. Can you answer me this? How come the farmer and the cattleman can't be friends?
I don't know. No, it's the one for the ages. It's for the ages.
I don't remember any other songs. What was?
Yeah, I actually did Lights for Oklahoma, and I don't remember anything else.
I can't remember any more songs. Anyway, that's it. That was our Oklahoma podcast. hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you enjoy the wind whistling down the plains like we do, write a review of this podcast on one of those platforms. Apple is best. You could also do the little clicky thing on Spotify. That helps.
Yeah.
We don't really see those in our reports, but apparently it's a big part of people listening to podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. So, yeah, we appreciate it. And follow us at Coast City Comics and at Actually Comics and at Dollar Binge. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
On The Muppet Show. Good night. Bye-bye.